episode 13 of the Borderline Problematic Podcast. I'm your host, Bryn, and with me, y'all know who's with me. It's Jenny.
It's me. So I was reading something, just to get this off. Did you see that the Budweiser employee had been pissing in Budweiser, like, I guess, vats of beer for 12 years? And we have, well, not we, because I don't drink beer, but allegedly nobody knows the fresh, crisp taste of Budweiser because they've been drinking this guy's urine for like 12 fucking years.
Like, did it say which bottling, which plant?
The one plant? In, I think it was someplace in Colorado.
Oh, okay.
Boulder or Denver or something. It was one of them. I'd have to go back and look it up. But the guy literally came out and they changed his name to Walter, quote unquote, to protect his identity. But there's a picture of the employee. So I don't know if that is or is not him, but he allegedly said, he's like, well, I'm not going to do it anymore. And he said, every time he watched his buddies drink a can of Budweiser, he was just like low-key feeling bad for them, but inside he still chuckled.
Wow. So what you're saying is no one in the state of Colorado knows what Budweiser actually tastes like.
Maybe nobody in a few other states as well, because don't they distribute?
Well, what they do is they usually put a Budweiser distributorship in each like area. So it's like...
It's still going to be multiple states.
Well, it depends. There might be another one in Albuquerque. Might be another one in Salt Lake. I don't know, but it's
that's still gonna... so far up there. Like, they probably distribute to states next to them, is what I'm saying.
It probably.
So a lot of people have tasted Walter's piss. But he said he's done. So, I mean, the 4th of July isn't totally ruined. You can still get your coochie-cutting jeans and your shit-kickers and your flannel shirt and your cowboy hat and your 30-pack of Budweiser.
Cause... What about rebel flag bikinis? Are those still a thing?
No. We're not doing it. It's all about the American flag. We can't do rebel flag anything anyway with all the stuff that's going on. You trying to get shot at?
No.
Why would you even bring that up?
Well, you know there's some people that still rock it.
Yeah, in the very, very dirty South, in their own yard, not out in public.
No. Well, they might wear them to the lake.
Okay. Never again. Never again.
But yeah, I mean, I don't drink... When I did drink, I didn't drink Budweiser, so I'm... perfectly content knowing that I've never tasted Walter's piss.
I've never drank Budweiser either, but I know somebody who did.
Ooh, but back to that on a later, yeah, we'll get later back to this that episode.
Because that's going to give me anxiety, and I do not want it this early.
Yeah, because we've got enough like trauma from our childhood to deal with.
Coincidentally, that's today's episode of childhood trauma, the good childhood trauma and the bad.
And why we have trust issues.
Yeah. Trauma for the reason I'm fucking hilarious. I mean, like I said, we'll see.
Like, do you remember when we were kids, like, certain foods, like, just, like, hit so fucking hard?
Like Chef Boyardee?
Oh, yeah, SpaghettiOs.
Oh, my God. You know, this gives me anxiety as well, but I tried it again when I was in, like, my late 20s, Chef Boyardee, because I was like, oh, hell yeah. You know, just like when we did the whole ramen thing, and I said ramen was shit, Johnny. Anyway... I remember trying that, and I was, like, super excited, because I don't remember who I was, like, doing it with at the time, and I was like, dude, if you've never had this fish, it's so bomb, and I got the raviolis, because that was my favorite, like, when I was younger, and it tastes like trash. It made me so sad, because, like, I took a bite of it, and then I looked down, and I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, did I get a bad can? So we made the other can, and I was like, what? And I dumped them in the trash, like, really bummed out for the rest of the day. It affected the rest of my day.
And it was the ravioli. It wasn't, like, the beefarino?
No. The beefaroni, and the SpaghettiOs were Chef Boyardee as well. But those raviolis, like, ugh, I loved them.
Mm.
Not anymore. It is basically, like, finding out the Easter Bunny or Santa Claus isn't real. That's the level of disappointment I had. I honestly was so fucking pissed.
Oh, my God.
It's like... You're trying to revisit something from your childhood that made you super freaking happy, and then you're just immediately let down.
Oh, like the time we made the dinosaur nuggets.
Oh my God, that was actually, like, not too long ago.
I know, so fresh in our memory.
God, dinosaur nuggets used to be so good, and now it just looks like McDonald's nuggets when it had the particles in it, and it's, like, all breading, and there's no meat in it, and it tastes like stale toenails.
Like, they were, like, hard.
They were so disgusting, and then... Like, out of principle of the fact, because I hate wasting money, I still made the rest of it, and then we wound up throwing it away anyway.
Yeah, because the fucking things were tough as boot leather.
It was disgusting. Like, God, isn't that fucking a Tyson product?
Yeah, Tyson is the one that makes the dino nuggies.
Yeah, Tyson, you suck.
Yeah.
And anybody named Tyson, you suck too.
Wait, what about Tyson Beckford? He was kind of cute.
I don't care. He sucks.
Wow. But yeah, I mean,
he was pretty good looking though.
But like, there's still some foods though from that time period, like in our childhood, that we're nostalgic about, but they still, like, we haven't gotten our hearts broken with them yet.
Like what?
Girl, Sloppy Joes.
Untidy Josephs.
Oh, sorry. So we're classy here. Untidy Josephs.
We haven't had that yet, though. Like, and when we were in the store, you were like, ooh, let's get a can of this. And I was like, if we're going to have this, we're going to make it homemade, because I'll be go to hell if whatever the fuck brand it is going to ruin my life again.
I mean, I grew up on Manwich.
Yeah, but this is different. It's fresh. And like,
it's not processed.
It's not processed. And don't get me wrong, those cans, like, whenever we were at school or summer camp, which I think I've only been to once, but it was for volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
And the shit was so good. It was so good. Just like the breakfast pizza in school. Like, those rectangular pieces of breakfast. I never ate school lunch, but like, when I knew breakfast pizza was going to be there, I made it a point to like get like two pieces.
Can you buy the rectangular pizzas? Because I really want those.
I would imagine if they still serve that kind of stuff, like it would be a Costco type thing or whatever that Gordon's food type thing is.
Oh, kind of like one of those big like conglomerate food services, like Cisco.
The surplus type thing. I don't think so, but like now I wouldn't.
Like, I'm pretty sure you can't even get, they don't even serve those in school cafeterias anymore. Because they're so
unhealthy. That's
why kids
are wild these days then.
Because they have nothing to look forward to.
No, like that shit is so, it's so disappointing.
I know.
Everything school-wise, meal-wise sucks, unless you're over in a foreign country. Because United States, like the school's here, please. And did you see, I'm going to point this out, like a couple years ago, I went on a tirade about how schools, like people want to do something good in the community, that they should call into local schools and pay off students like lunch bills. Like,
yeah.
Stuff like that. And the schools were just refusing to give, like, students food if they owed 35 cents or $1.35. Like, oh, well, you have to pay off your lunch bill. And as we know, I mean, some students
can't.
That go to school, they can't afford this. And, I mean, it doesn't seem like much to some, but, like, to others that are less fortunate, it's a lot. So I went on a whole tirade on, like, a bunch of different social media thingies. I even took it to one of the governors in a state at the time that we were traveling through. And I was so irate. And then I obviously took it to Facebook because I loved to pot stir.
Oh, absolutely.
And now that the coronavirus is very much rampant and active, now they're like, oh, well, we're going to make sure students have breakfast and lunch because da da da. And I'm just sitting here like, that's a great thought. Like, please don't think that I'm taking that away because, like, finally, you got your head out of your ass and you actually want to help people. But when students were actively in school, hungry and couldn't eat, where was this type of, oh, well, we should do something good attitude? Like,
yeah,
it was okay to let them starve while they're in school, and now all of a sudden, because of coronavirus and because it's popular to like do something that's smart, now all of a sudden you want to do it.
Oh, the worst were the schools that were like making the kids work in the cafeteria to clean up to help pay off the cafeteria debt.
I mean, it's already hard enough to be like in high school or middle school. That shit's embarrassing.
Kids are fucking
mean. And they'll get bullied for that. Like, as you know, I really hate seeing people get bullied. I don't like that at all. But, like, when the students go back to school, are they going to start off with a clean slate? Or are they going to go back to saying, hey, you can't eat because you still owe this back lunch?
I mean, we don't know. Odds are, I would hope that they would be like, you know, carte blanche. Everybody's good now.
I mean, you would think, especially, like, with unemployment rates still just going crazy. And now, love my state.
Mm-hmm.
Our beaches are closed. Well, the beaches are closed on the east side. Like, all the way from Miami-Dade to Broward County to Palm Beach County, slowly going up.
Up the Treasure Coast, yeah.
But the beaches, as far as my knowledge, or as far to my knowledge right now, like, up there in Destin and Fort Walton and stuff like that, they're not closed. And I have a lot of friends up there because we have a Fuddruckers tournament up there. But I keep tabs on news stories and like some friends' feeds, and they're like, yeah, they're still open. They're still planning on keeping them open for the 4th of July. They're not going to do that. But the cases in Florida now, today, are the most.
What was the last number we saw come through
from Florida? 10,000 and something.
In one day?
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
And that's down in my county. So, we're in the second highest. Miami-Dade is the first highest. But I'm not saying it's not an issue. It is, but obviously when you test new people, like I've said before, there are going to be more cases.
Yeah.
And they've closed our beaches down for the weekend, which is fine with me because I didn't plan on going to the beach for the 4th of July. One, because I'm not a fucking idiot. and two, because like it just seems pointless at this point. But on Monday they're going to open them back up, so volleyball and things will still happen in small groups, and like I know people have opinions about that, and I honestly don't fucking care about your opinion. It's my choice, it's the people I play with's choice, and we don't really hang out with other people, and we take precautions. Like, I'm not going to stop doing something I love, especially when I firmly believe that everything's going to shut down again after this holiday weekend. It's only going to be a matter of time. By the end of July, we're going to be on lockdown again. Mm. And it's because of idiots. But if you see these protests, and I don't know if riots are still going on. I mean, I see some things online, but I really don't care to read them anymore because I'm done with the negativity aspect of it. But when you're gathered protesting in the street by the thousands, you can't get the coronavirus that way. You can only get it by being on a beach or walking down the street without a face mask.
Well, I mean, most of those people in the protests I've seen have had the masks on.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm not saying that you should or should not wear a mask, because I'm not going to tell somebody what to do in that aspect. You do? Cool. You don't? Cool, too. Like, it's your choice.
Yeah.
But you can't sit there and say that gatherings that are out there on a beach in the sun, which allegedly kills the coronavirus, but then they said that it didn't, but then they were like, oh, well, we were wrong, it actually does, like 30 minutes in the sun, and it's like in the 90s. It allegedly has something to do with the coronavirus in a good way, but well, they want to keep you indoors.
I think it's more just to do with the fact that you're getting vitamin D, which is so crucial to helping your immune system.
It is, and by the way, folks, if you're taking a vitamin D supplement, that is garbage, because there is no substitution for the sun. There never will be. You will never put it in a capsule, and you will never tell me that, oh, well, if you take these vitamin D supplements, you're good to go, and you don't have to be in the sun. Like, please, go fuck yourself.
I mean, how hard is it to walk outside and literally just go for a 30-minute walk?
Well, I mean, everybody's trying to keep us inside now anyway.
I mean,
that's the whole crazy part of it. They tell you being in the sun is good for it, but you should stay indoors and socially distance. Like, it's kind of confusing being told all these things. But, I mean, at the end of the day, you have to be a smart person. And mm-hmm. I would think that the smart people know how to think for themselves, and they know what's good for them. Instead of getting online or listening to the news and be like, okay, so what are we going to be outraged about today? And where is my mind going today? Like, what am I going to do? Like, you need to think for yourself.
We have to be kept in fear.
Obviously.
Because that's how they keep their thumbs on us.
Control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I have a friend on Facebook, and his name is Fred. And he is a black gentleman. I've met him before. Super cool dude. He is one of the biggest advocates for, like, putting people in their place. And this guy is suspended, like, so much on Facebook. Like, when he goes missing, I'm like, all right, man, he just... Somebody reported him because they didn't like what he said, so he'll be back. I know.
So the world is a really crazy place right now.
Apparently.
Speaking of the world and how crazy some things are here, we watched One Strange Rock on Disney Plus.
Because I told you about it. I told you it was a good show.
I know, and it was, like, I was impressed. Like, it was really well done.
And Will Smith being the narrator for it was excellent. So if you haven't seen it, I honestly recommend going to watch it.
Yeah, that is, like, I cannot recommend it enough.
Yeah, it's super cool. So let's share with the kids.
Let's share with the class. Because
I know what this is. I'm excited.
So there was one episode towards the end of the series. This 8-year-old girl's on there. She's talking about caterpillars turning to butterflies and everything. And she used the word chrysalis properly. Which... Mm-hmm. You know, impressive. Very impressive. This little girl's got a vast vocabulary.
Yes, let's include the problem children.
Now, the thing is, I didn't learn that word until I was an adult. I was in my 20s before I heard...
What's the specific number? They deserve to know.
I want to say 28, maybe?
That's fucking sad.
Hey, you know, when I was... I grew up in a... It was called a cocoon.
I don't fucking care what it was called. Like, you should have known. Like, the teacher who taught you this stuff should have been like, this is a chrysalis. Also, I'm pretty sure she did. You just didn't fucking pay attention.
I don't think it ever happened.
I feel like that's in the curriculum. And by looking at your stupid face, and by the way, for our listeners that did not know you were a dumb bitch, they now know you're a dumb bitch. However, if you guys haven't heard the word chrysalis until now, like, man, you're just like her. I don't know what to say.
But it gets worse.
Oh, God.
It gets worse, because I may have learned this word when I was in my late 20s, but I didn't learn how to spell it until June 24th of 2020. I had to Google how to spell it.
I'm so embarrassed to be friends with you.
I know.
Sometimes, like, more than once, this is one of those times, but it's okay. I'm going to forgive it, because I know I do a bunch of dumb shit, too.
I ain't got no good learning.
I know. When you grow up in the South, that education just ain't what it should be.
Like, I'm a product of the Louisiana and Arkansas public school systems.
Oh, my gosh. I hung my head in shame.
I mean, what, 48th and 49th, respectively?
And that is not a good thing. But hey.
At least we're not Mississippi.
Or Alabama, which actually is better than you in the education number, anyway.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, tomato, tomato. You probably can't spell the difference.
But you know what? I know that the mitochondria is the powerhouse of the cell.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you only remember that because you saw it on One Strange Book as well.
No, I knew it before they even said it. I'm okay. Like, oh shit, the mitochondria?
Oh yeah, you did get pretty gangster.
I got hyped. I got super
hyped. And
then you're
like, oh, see, I told you. And it's like, I bet you that 8-year-old little girl knew that too. But I mean, no worries.
I mean, that's like the one thing that the education system like taught us. Like, didn't teach you how to do your taxes, didn't teach you how to change your oil or anything like necessary for survival.
They taught sex ed incorrectly.
Yeah. Oh, girl, I'm a product of abstinence-only education.
Right.
The Lord. Well, hey, I'm not married yet. I'm still pure.
Wow, this could be a whole episode on...
I'm kidding. I'm not pure.
I was about to start writing down notes for the next fucking episode on why you're a whore, but hey.
Well, no. So the thing is, like, it's not too far out of the realm of possibility that chrysalis was not used until I was in my 20s.
Yeah, still. I mean, yeah. Whatever. If you learn something about an animal, I'm happy. I'm happy you learned that.
Yeah. Still gonna use orca cocoon because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, because you still can't spell chrysalis without looking at it. That's why.
I mean, okay. You're not wrong. You're not wrong. But speaking of animals, do we need to tell the listeners at home something bad about you? And your mistreatment of animals?
Okay. Time the fuck out. It was one animal. And I was a teenager.
I thought it was two animals.
It wasn't two animals. These are two different stories. One was about a cat. We did not mistreat the cat. That was my mom's cat. The other one is a bird, which, I mean, we may or may not have mistreated this bird heavily on the May. But, fine. Fuck this. So, my mom, when we were younger, had a Quaker parrot. And I hate birds. I don't mind outside birds like the majestic eagle, falcons, hawks, stuff like that. Outside birds do not bother me. They can chirp their little butts off and it does not bother me. But this bird was so fucking loud and so annoying and shit all over everything that we were forced to clean. I didn't ask for this fucking parrot. I didn't want the fucking parrot. But my mom always gets what she fucking wants. That's another story. She's a selfish spoil. I love her, but she just is a brat. Anyway, so this fucking parrot, his name was Ozzy, and he could do the whistles. Like, he didn't really talk. He loved my mom. And I swear to God, this little motherfucker knew that we didn't like him because she had his wings clipped and he used to come out. And he would terrorize everything. And everything he shit on, she'd be like, you need to go clean that up. Or you need to clean his cage. Or make sure Ozzy has water. Make sure he has food. And, like, finally I was like, I don't even fucking like this bird. Like, I'm not doing this shit. And then she started to try to make my little brother do it. And he was like, no. So, we would, like, terrorize the bird. We never physically assaulted him.
I want to circle back to something.
Great.
Your little brother had the balls to tell your Italian mother no.
I mean, yeah, we all did. We knew how to, like, step around shit. Yo, we caught some hands.
Fucking savage.
Times. Yeah. I had a busted lip once or twice. I still didn't give a shit. I was not cleaning that bird shit. But he terrorized the bird. And then I started terrorizing the bird, and then my older brother started terrorizing the bird, and we terrorized him to the point where he plucked his feathers, like, all of his chest feathers. So he had wings, a bald-ass chest, and, like, a head. And my mom, she's like, what did you guys do to the bird? And we're like, we didn't do shit to that funky-ass bird. Get rid of it. So, like, my brother would clean his cage out, and mind you, I'm going to disclaim, because I know some people are going to get outraged by this, and that's fine, I mean, whatever, I was a kid when I did it, but he would clean his cage with a vacuum cleaner, and he would put on that little, like, you know, that line-like edge thingy to get all the birds out. Well, he would, like, poke at him, and he would, like, suck him into it, and then he'd turn it off and let him loose, and I've only seen him do it once, and I was like, dude, you can't do that, that's so fucked up, and I was like, he's already got no feathers, but then, like, I still sat there and watched, and I laughed, because I fucking hated the bird. But, like, never hit him, never did anything like that to him. We just we were not nice people to Bird.
You just made that bird's life a living nightmare.
Man, fuck that bird. I hated that bird. Like, I really did. And my mom, like, I know he's dead now. I don't know. He died after I came out of the house, so whatever. But, dude, honestly, I have no regrets. Like, I fucking hated it. And yes, we made that called mulching is what it is when the bird, like, pulls his feathers out.
Mulching.
Mulching, I think.
Oh.
Or something. I don't know. I could be wrong. But it doesn't matter. So, yeah, that's Ozzy. Ozzy was a piece of shit. Fuck Ozzy, don't care. Now, Lucy was my mom's cat. Like, we had to backtrack that. We found a cat out in the wild, a kitten. Her name, we didn't have it at the time, but brought her in. And my dad was like, we're not keeping that. My mom was like, yes, we are. So we kept her. It was, her name was Spaz. This is Lucy's mom. This was the best cat in the world. I love this cat. But Lucy was the spawn of Satan from her mom. She's this, like, big, fat, rotund, Garfield-ass piece of shit cat. Never picked on her, never really fucked with her, because she was mean. Like, cats are fucking evil. So, just, she liked my little brother sometimes, but she didn't really like people. She kept to herself, which was good for me. Like, I didn't care. Every time I came in the room, she bolted, and I was like, yeah, that's right. But even though, like, we didn't really have, like, I never, like, I don't hit animals. Like, I don't. I never touched the bird physically. So, I'm not abusive, but we have this little cousin. And I don't understand why you think this is animal abuse. This is more like people abuse.
Well, your cousin's a filthy animal.
He's a farouche, so obviously. Which means redhead, by the way. Anyway. every time he used to come over, like, this cat hated him. And she would hide under the chair, and then she would, like, pop her claw and be like, wap, 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 wap. Every time he walked by, like, he would have cuts every time he visited. So my mom got to the point, she was like, we need to put the cat up when your cousin comes because he always gets scratched and he cries. I'm like, well, it's because he's a fucking pussy, so whatever. And she was like, okay, put the cat up. So me and my brothers put the cat in the bathroom that we knew that David was going to use. And so Steven picks up the cat, puts her in there, and David, like, walks in the house. He's like, is the cat there? I was like, no, dude, she's put up. It's all good. So he's in there and visiting. My aunt and uncle are there. We're having a conversation, and, like, we're just giving him, like, drinks. Like, hey, do you want some lemonade? Do you want some water? Like, what do you want, bro? We'll get you whatever you want. And he's like, why are you guys being so nice? And you're like, dude, we just don't see you often, so we just wanted to have some time.
I see where this is going. You and your siblings were just monsters.
Where is a past tense? We are still very much this way.
Yeah.
But, he was like, well, I have to go to the bathroom. And we were like, oh, use the bathroom down the hall. And we were like, because, like, Lucy's in this part of the house, we don't know which part she's in, so we don't want you to, like, worry about it. So, he walks down the bathroom, and my older brother is just like, oh, shit. And then, like, my little brother's like, it's gonna happen. And I'm just like, ooh. So he walks in the bathroom, and we immediately barricade the bathroom from the outside to where he can't get out. And all of a sudden, you hear, like, screaming and him trying to, like, open the door, because Lucy's in there fucking him up. Like, he's getting fucked up. And my mom comes running down the hallway, like, we hear her get out. She's like, what's going on? And so we bolt. We are nowhere to be found. David comes out. He has, like, scratches on his forearm and, like, up there by his tricep and stuff. And my mom was like, what happened to you? And he's like, well, I was in the bathroom and the cat was in there and she attacked me. And, like, I tried to get out, but I couldn't get out. And then, like, we come rushing in the hallway. Like, dude, what happened? Are you okay?
Did your mother know you were awful as shit?
My mom saw my little brother's face. She's like, you did this. And I was just like, yep, he did this. But I started laughing. And then my older brother started laughing. And she was like, did you all do this? And we were like, I mean, we might have known she was in there, but we don't know why he couldn't get out of the door. So we got in so much trouble. Like, she made us apologize, and she made us, like, we had to go do something with him because none of us wanted to hang out with him. He was, like, this weird kid, and he always, like, fucking tattled on us, so we didn't like him. Like, he was younger, and he was like, oh, well, they're doing this, and we're like, are you fucking kidding me? You're a little snitch-ass bitch. So that's why he got fucked up.
So Omar and you did not teach him how not to snitch.
I mean, he learned that day.
I mean, I guess he did, but did he keep snitching?
I don't know. I don't think so, because I think he stopped coming over, really. Like, we weren't allowed to be there when he came over. Got kicked out of our own house. Or we had to do, like, out in public thingies, like,
where, like, citizens could witness you being
because it's really monsters. Hard to plot things when you're out in public. It takes more effort, I guess you could say. But see, it was only one animal. It wasn't two. Like, we were good to Lucy because we had an understanding. You don't fuck with us, we don't fuck with you. It was only Ozzy. So that's childhood trauma for him.
Yeah.
Pretty good childhood trauma for us. But I mean...
I mean, this is hours of
entertainment. No, it wasn't the last time.
Did you... Wait, you haven't told me all the story?
No, because, like, there was one more time. I think he had to stay with us for a little bit because my uncle and aunt were going... I don't know. But I remember we cellophaned the entire front door to try to catch him coming through it. But it kind of backfired because my dad wound up walking through it with coffee. Oh, no. We got in so much trouble. It was so bad. And he was, I guess, in a rush to go somewhere. He was dressed very nice. And he walked into it. We got, like, spanked in trouble. Like, ass beat spanked. And... not good enough, because we didn't learn.
No, you. I don't expect you and your brothers have ever learned.
Well, we cellophane the sink as well, to where when you turn something on, we had it fun. It was quite intelligent for us, because whenever you turn the water on, it funneled right to you. Yeah. And this was our bathroom, so my parents, in all fairness, and I don't fucking care if you hear this, they had no business being in our bathroom washing their fucking hands. So, that's their own damn fault. Like, they knew what kind of... they raised us. We were a product of our environment.
So. Are you blaming your parents for the little monsters you became?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I ain't got no shame in that. Fuck that. I love you, Mama, though. Like, don't beat me. She still will, too.
I mean...
she didn't care.
She's so much smaller than you, too.
She's only 5'2", but she's Italian.
Yeah, like, I fear that your mother might come after you with a wooden spoon, because you deserve it.
Or a yardstick.
Oh.
You remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not fun of it. Mm-hmm.
You would think I learned, but I did not. So, yeah, that's still good childhood trauma for me, even though I got my ass beat.
Well, guess it was a learning experience.
Kind of. Because, like, I'll still do that shit today. I don't learn, but I have people in my life that have the same type of, like, humor,
depravity?
I guess? Depravity, there you go. I was going to say humor, but, I mean, that's a good word, too. Don't act like you don't have any stories from your childhood that are even close to this, or please tell me I'm not, like, the only person in this business slash friendship that is a fuck-up.
Oh, I'm a fuck-up, don't get me wrong. I'm just a good person.
Wow, this is my family! Like, I can do that with my family, I don't do this to random people. And... a bad person. Like, we could go into that subject, too, if we need to, about bad people.
I mean, I feel like we need to. I mean, we've seen plenty of bad people on TV lately.
Oh, my gosh. Because we watched... okay.
We finished all of Hoarders.
Yes, which, by the way, is a guilty-ass pleasure. Like,
oh, my God.
People and their drama. It's like Dr. Pimple Popper. Like, that shit you just watch. Like, oh, my God, that's so gross. But, wow.
I actually found something grosser that was on TV besides... like, grosser than Dr. Pimple Popper. The Toe Bro.
Don't care. I don't do feet.
Yeah.
We're not going to talk about it.
Oh, it's gross.
But what do we watch now?
Oh, we're watching Catfish, the series.
Goddamn right. I'm sorry, but I am literally obsessed with that. We were in season 6, and I didn't know. I've been catfished before. When I was, like, 19? I want to say 18 or 19?
Was it as bad as the guy who thought he was dating Katy Perry?
No, that's actually... tragic as fuck and stupid as fuck. No, it wasn't. But I did, because, like, I'm sitting here talking shit about all these people, and I'm like, wait a minute, this guy Brandon, like, did that. But it was my friend Pam's fault, the girl I was friends with at the time, so it was her fault. It's not even worth getting into, but I was catfished.
But Pam was the one that catfished you.
Basically, like, that sick fuck.
But maybe that's why you say so many people on the show, like, remind you of her.
Yeah, I actually, a lot of the, and I'm not making fun of people who are overweight or introverted or anything like that, but most of the people who catfish people are overweight and have issues, and it honestly reminds me of her. So every time I see one of these people, whether it's a man or a woman, I'm like, oh my God, this makes me think of Pam. It's just the way it is. But
like, you have some of the most creative insults, though, when it comes to these people.
Oh my God, wait. What did I say the other day? Because you were like, laughed for like 5 minutes.
Oh, don't worry. I wrote it down.
Oh my God. I'm not embarrassed.
As I prepare to read this. You straight up said, you busted ass, dilapidated seat cover looking motherfucker. How could you think you're dating someone that looks like this? Hear this, and I'm over here dying.
You paused the show.
I paused the show
so we can talk about it.
I between gasps of for air and just wild raucous laughter, I'm saying, I actually asked, like, you really just threw those words together to describe a human person, didn't you?
And I walked away, and I was like, I think so. I don't think before I speak sometimes, and that's a problem, but not here. This is it's not a safe space technically. This is a very unhealthy environment sometimes.
Borderline problematic environment, if you will.
Yeah, well, I don't know, man. Like, I was just... You would think, after watching as many things as we've watched pertaining to the same thing, that I'm not shocked by this shit. But for some fucking reason, they just go to next level. I'm like, oh my god, I have to watch, like, every season of it now. So, since we're still on the cusp of coronavirus and being locked down once again, at least we have this.
Oh, yeah. And, like, how many times do I look over at you during an episode when something super juicy happens?
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, eyes lit up,
like,
jaw agape.
Yeah, because we're just like, oh, dude, this is all going to be the same. And then they, like, reach some other level. I'm like, what? Bro, like, are you fucking kidding
me? Like, this 43-year-old man, like,
oh my God,
pretending to be a 25-year-old?
Getting naked pictures of minors. Well, yeah. Well, she wasn't
21. Old. She was 21.
That's a minor to his old ass.
I mean, he was old enough to be her daddy.
That's grody.
The thing about these shows, though, they show you, like, how bad some people can be, like, on a full-on level.
Yeah, and I mean, to turn this into a completely serious note, like, we actually know somebody that is like this, but all of them rolled into one, and then I don't even know a word to describe this person to what and who he is.
Because there's really not a word that we can say that's gonna... like, deliver the gravity of, like, how awful this human being is.
But...
that doesn't make it sound like we're joking and making light of it. He is...
he is bad. He's evil. Like
the worst fucking person I've ever met.
Yeah, and I've met a lot of people that I thought were bad, but this guy honestly takes the cake. But the only, I guess, silver lining from this human being is this is how you and I met.
Yeah, and honestly... I am thankful for that.
I am too, because if this hadn't happened, then we probably wouldn't know each other.
No.
And this is going to be very emotional to get through, but I mean, it has to be said, because the only reason I'm even bringing this person up is because I am friends with one of his ex-wives, and yes, one of his ex-wives on a social media site, and she reached out to me and sent me mugshots of this person, and his name is Tommy Thompson. Thomas Dunafin Thompson, to be more exact. And the reason I am going to say his whole name out here is because this man needs to be in jail.
100%.
And in order for you to honestly know why this person is evil, we kind of have to dive into some pretty hard topics, and they're very personal. But I told her, this woman, that I was going to speak about this on the podcast. And I even asked her if it was okay. And she said yes. And she is going to wind up sharing this podcast with other people that need to hear the story. Like the numerous wake of women and ex-wives and children that this man has left behind in his wake of destruction.
Like, okay, how many ex-wives are there in total?
So far, there's one previous to me, four.
Four ex-wives.
Four ex-wives.
And how many
kids? He has 4 or 5? Yeah, 4 or 5. But anyway, known you for what, 12 years?
Yeah.
Met him in, I'm not even going to name off the year, it doesn't matter, people can do math. But I met you through him. And didn't like you. You didn't like me.
Mm-mm.
It was what it was. But in the time that I was in a relationship with this guy, before we moved down together, or in together, in Tampa, Florida. I do not live there anymore, just for the record. But the guy cheated on me.
Numerous times.
With 6 people that I didn't know about, but she did.
Yeah, because back then, like, we did not like each other, and I was his friend. Or at least I thought I was his friend.
Yeah, but I was cheated on 6 times.
by a man who tried to trick me into having his child by telling me he had a vasectomy and then getting upset with me when I wouldn't have unprotected sex with him. Whatever. So, that being said, and I didn't find out that he had cheated on me until years later,
mm-hmm.
when I was like, fuck, I have to get tested, I have to do all this stuff, because, I mean, even though...
Because we had reconnected at that point.
Yeah,
because
I don't even remember why, to be honest.
It was like right about the time y'all split. Like, you contacted me because you were in a bad way.
Yeah, it was really bad. Really, really bad. And this is why I'm doing this podcast and sharing personal information. So the other women that this other girl that I'm friends with, who is his ex-wife, can see that they're not the only one. And if they want to stand up and speak out against him, that I will absolutely stand up and speak out against him as well. Excuse me. So we moved to Tampa together. And I was working toward my law degree to become a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And he was still cheating on me. I found out because one of the girls, coincidentally her name was Jen, I'm a Jen, and I saw the messages back and forth, so I reached out to her just to like get some kind of clarity. Be like, is this really happening? And she would tell me that they were sitting together, they were talking about me, making fun of the fact that I was oblivious to the fact he used my money to buy her an engagement ring, brought her to my house, all this other stuff. And I was completely shocked by this.
Oh,
so okay. I confronted him because, you know, like, I'm the type of person that's like, hey, what the fuck are you doing here? So when I confronted him, he got violent. And he hit me. And obviously, like, when somebody hits you, your natural reaction is to be like, what the fuck, and push back or fight back. And so I did. I hit him back. And then he knocked me out. Unconscious. He drugged me. And then he raped me. And like, I was telling him no, I told him to stop. I told him all of these things, and he did it anyway. And saying it out loud the first time was like a few days ago, because she literally reached out to me a few days ago. And I had to tell her. And it brought up so many different emotions, and like, as you can hear in my voice, I'm very fucking upset by this. Not because I feel sorry for myself, because I don't. Like, I got over it, but this is the first time that I've actually, like, spoke out. And I don't want pity, I don't need pity, but this is for those other girls that he did the same thing to. And he tricked two of them into getting pregnant, and then used that to guilt them into financing him and staying with him and scaring him. Scaring them. So when he did that to me, I immediately told my brother, but he already had an escape. He was already on to the next girl, which is the girl who reached out to me like a few days ago. And I had to sit there and tell her, I was like, he drugged me, he stole from me, he raped me, he did all this other stuff. And that is the situation in my life that turned me into the person I am today. Because he took everything from me. Like, he took away my respect for myself. He took away anything that I had. Like, I didn't feel good. I wound up depressed. I went through a spell to where I didn't trust anybody. And I went through a spell where I used somebody. So he made me feel unsafe. And I almost dropped out of school. And it was just a really bad time in my life. And it sucks to, like, think about that. But relating back to the catfish thingy, like, all these people latch on to somebody because they make them feel good and they make them feel safe. And I did that, but I didn't do it as a catfish, I did it as myself. I met this person named John through a friend, and I used him up, and I made him a bad person because he wound up falling in love with me, and he even bought an engagement ring for me. And he wanted to spend his life with me. And I broke him. I broke his spirit. I broke his mental state. I broke his heart. And I broke his heart twice. Because even when I had moved on to somebody else, he still tried. Like, he still looked out for me. He still did all these good things for me. But because of what Tommy had did to me in the past, I was on a self-destructive path and I didn't care about the wake or the mortality rate that I was gonna leave behind. And I really did break this man. And I felt bad for a very long time. But I do know that he's married now and he has two kids and he's extremely happy, and that makes me feel good. It doesn't take away what I did, but he's okay now. But that's what happens when somebody takes everything from you. Because I felt like a shallow, I felt like a shell. I didn't feel like a person. I didn't feel like I was ever going to have anything good. And then when I became a lawyer, the relationships I got into didn't mean anything. And with this last guy I dated, I mean, I cared about him at first, but then he started doing some things that kind of reminded me of Tommy. And that was it. The last year and a half of our relationship was trash, and I don't know why I stayed. I think I stay because somehow, sometimes I think that I deserve to be unhappy.
Kind of like maybe. Kind of old school Catholic guilt?
Kind of. I don't go to church. I don't knock people who go to church. I'm more of a universe type person and whole vibes and shit like that, manifesting your own stuff.
But you were raised Catholic.
I was.
That shit sticks with you.
But it stuck with me. It did. And just over the last few years, maybe the last four, I really started to shed that past and get over it. And I thought I had escaped it. And then it happens to come up just a few days ago. And I was at the gym when I got the message and you were there. And I was just like, are you fucking kidding me?
Well, because he keeps popping up like a scumbag lowlife Pennywise. Every so often he rears his ugly fucking head.
Yeah.
Because he reached out to me when we were living together in North Florida.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that. And he decided to try to badmouth me then and all this other stuff because he knew what he had done was wrong. And it wasn't just to me. It was to a lot of people. And again, that's why I'm more upset now. I'm not upset because, what he did to me so long ago. I got over that. And I'm actually in a relationship to where I'm happy. And, for the first time, I'm not sitting there thinking of, well, is this going to go wrong? Or is that going to go wrong? Or is this going to go wrong? I'm happy. And I don't want to do that. So I regained my control and all this other stuff. But to be completely honest, this isn't the only bad thing that's happened by knowing him. Because the first time you and I met, you went through a really bad situation, which kind of helped push you out of, or letting people know, you were gay at this time.
Yeah.
And I know it's going to be hard, but I mean, you got this. I'm here.
I know. It's a very tough situation, because Tommy at the time, we were both living in, this was an undergrad at Southern Arkansas University.
Yeah.
So I was living in Magnolia and Tommy was living here. And so we were friends. We met through a girl he had been dating who was in a sorority at SAU, and I was in a fraternity. And so we just kind of hung out at a few functions and got to talking. I'm like, okay, yeah, just dudes. Because I was very much in the closet and very much trying to hide who I was by pretending to be someone I'm not.
But look at you now.
I know.
You beautiful bitch.
Well, anyway, he always claimed to be this great musician. And he played guitar and he sang
cover songs.
Cover songs, yes, entirely cover songs. He didn't have a
talent.
He didn't have enough talent or creativity to write his own music, but hey. So he would go and he'd play in Hot Springs, which was a long time ago, but he went up there and he needed a ride because he couldn't get to the show because he didn't have a car, but his roommate had a car. They worked together.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't borrow his car. So I was like, oh, dude, I can get away for a little while to cover my drinks and gas and I'll be good. I'll go with you.
Yeah.
I was 19 at the time.
Yeah. And yeah. I happened to be up there visiting somebody at that time too.
Yeah.
So
this was spring of 2008. And so he was playing this bar at one of the big hotels there on the main strip in Hot Springs. And I was sitting at the bar drinking Illegally, mind you.
Yeah.
I don't even think I had my fake ID at that point.
I don't think you did either. The bartender just didn't care.
Yeah. Which, because I don't want to spread the belief that, oh, all gay men are predators. This man was legitimately a fucking predator. It doesn't matter that he's gay.
Yeah.
But he was serving me lots and lots of alcohol.
Vodka crayon with, like, a splash of crayon?
Yeah. Just enough to change the color.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this was towards the end of the night, and it was just strong. And I'm talking, like, I don't remember a whole lot. Because I'm fairly certain he also put something in the drinks. A little extra.
You were very, I didn't know you, but I thought you were a lightweight for something. And, like, the fact that you just kept drinking was just so shocking to me.
Mm-hmm. So, we ended up leaving there, and because I was too inebriated to drive, they said, oh, you can stay at our house tonight, no big deal. And I'm like, oh, great, you know, because I'm still in that naive...
Everybody's trustworthy, they're looking out for my best interest.
Yeah, like, a party-going life, so like, oh, yeah, we'll just crash on their couch, no big deal. And in the middle of the night, I get sick, and I go to the bathroom and start throwing up. And he comes to the bathroom, he's like, here, let me help you back to bed. And instead of taking me to the bed where I was laying in alone, he took me to his bed. And then he and his roommate both raped me.
Yeah. And all this because your good friend that you came up there with couldn't be bothered to take you to his hotel with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was too busy trying to holler at a girl.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't sit there and say, like, anything to, like, take that situation away, but this happens a lot more than people care to think, and because it's embarrassing at the time,
oh, yeah.
People get away with it.
Yeah, I mean, hell, I was so deep in the closet, I was like, I didn't want to press charges because I didn't want people to get out that I was...
Underage drinking, you thought you were going to get more
well,
trouble.
Not just that I was gay. Like, on top of that...
And you didn't tell me. I don't even remember when you told me. It was a while. Like, a while after. And I was like, why didn't you say something?
Because I was embarrassed.
Yeah. I can't lecture you, and I won't. Like, that's fucked up. It's horrible.
I mean, because I was a cheerleader. I had an athletic build back then.
Yeah.
I should have been able to handle myself. But...
It's kind of hard to handle yourself when you're drugged.
Yeah.
So you can't sit there and blame yourself or anything like that. And I would never let you do that. But, I mean, this is the kind of stuff, like, childhood drama or trauma, like, this is where it comes from. And this shit changes you completely. Like I said, I am who I am today because of what happened to me.
Oh, yeah.
You are who you are. And, like, the positive aspect is, I mean, you came out.
Mm-hmm.
And you learned that he was a scumbag and could not be trusted.
Yeah. And honestly, I think a lot of that led to my issues with alcohol.
I think it did too. I think you drank to, like...
Forget.
And you never could forget. And that's, like, another part of the reason why you struggled. Because when you came out like you were gay, then you kind of went back. Like, okay, well, maybe I'm straight. Okay, and then you like to dress in drag. I think you did some drag shows.
Yeah, I did a couple drag shows.
Yeah, and you enjoyed it. And you were like, okay, well, maybe I'm gay. Or maybe I'm a drag queen. Maybe I'm this. But then you went to, like, well, maybe I'm bisexual.
Yeah.
To being gay again, and then to finally feel, like, realize, like, okay, wait a minute, I'm a trans woman. Like, this is what I want.
Yeah, I mean, it was dark times in my mind.
Of course it is. Like, you can't expect anything like that to be easy. And, like, after that happened, especially since you didn't speak out, you've got to be questioning everything. Like, maybe I'm not this, or maybe I'm this, or I don't know. But it's okay. Like, what happened is not okay, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's okay now.
Oh, yes, because I've dealt with this in therapy. I've moved past this to the point where I can talk about it. I mean, yeah, it's still difficult to talk about.
Oh, absolutely, and always will be.
Oh, absolutely. But, I mean, hopefully our listeners can take both of our stories here.
Yeah.
And know that they're not alone if they've experienced something like this.
Yeah,
know
absolutely.
That it's not going to define them the rest of their lives.
No, but if you need a fucking hug, reach out. Like,
yeah.
Reach out.
Like,
reach out to us. Like, you're our problem children.
Yes, 100%. Like, Instagram?
Hell yeah. Or even underneath on TBK Magazine, because
yes.
There's now a comment section, which I really want people to do, because that is going to be awesome.
And that's how we make the show better.
But
Yeah, in closing to that, this guy Tommy Thompson, who lives in the state of Florida now,
yeah,
in
we're not Ocoee, sure, not sure if it's Ocoee or if it's Hollywood.
Yeah, he was arrested a few days ago,
mm-hmm.
but he was released on a $5,000 bond because he owes $85,000 in child support, and he's also scammed women, raped women, lied to women, and used women along the way. There are at least three others after this one woman, and she asked me. And that's why I brought this up on the podcast, because she's going to share it.
And we have a platform.
We do. We have a platform of strong people, like, of any gender, ethnicity, race, like, everything. We have really cool people, and our web host, Rebecca, is also amazing. So I know she's going to shed some light on this as well, because...
Of course.
Everybody's dealt with some kind of sexual harassment at some point, and we've all been taught that... Well, you just need to deal with it, or you dress too risque, so it's your fault. Well, it's never
your
fault.
You shouldn't have been there. You should have
it's never
done this or that.
It is the other person's fault, because there is something seriously wrong with that person. Like, there's a chemical imbalance, there's some kind of trauma behind it as well, which doesn't make it right, but that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We all act a certain way because of a certain traumatic experience. Some people are just fucking sadistic and sick, and they decide to hurt other people.
Of course.
So, yeah.
So... What was the name of his company? Because he's also started
Global,
this company. Neptune.
Neptune Global Design?
Yes.
I think that's what it is. And just to put this out there, he was going to be doing a fundraiser for the coronavirus in the Hollywood area at the Hard Rock...
Seminole.
I think that's actually in Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah.
So, he was selling tickets from $250 all the way up to $10,000. And let me tell
no,
you...
No, that was $50,000, wasn't it?
But, well, that just showed that on the thingy.
Oh.
If anybody hears or sees this event, please report it, because he pockets this money.
He's a scammer.
He stole from me. He stole thousands of dollars, like up into almost $100,000 from me when I had a loan. That's how he bought that girl an engagement ring that we were with.
Are you fucking serious?
Dead serious. And I had to pay that shit back, because at the time I was going to buy a bar.
Yeah, when y'all left,
yeah,
it was, oh, we're going to buy this bar, we're going to start a business. Like, okay, that's cool.
Yeah, that's what we were going to do. But then I figured out quickly, this is not a person that I need to be in my life. So
definitely want to go into
if
business
you
with
you. See anything to do with Neptune Global Design, which is a Hollywood, Florida-based company, report it to the Better Business Bureau, report it to the authorities, or send it in to us so I can pass this information along with her, because they are building up a legal case to put this man in prison, and he deserves to be there.
He deserves to rot in jail for the rest of his miserable fucking existence.
He really does, because he's currently married to somebody else scamming her because she has money too, and she's in her 40s.
Oh my God.
Yeah, and he's my age. He's a year older than me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I know that's a heavy, heavy situation, but it is what it is. So...
Yeah, and I'm thankful for our listeners, because...
I'm thankful for my listeners, I'm thankful for you.
Girl,
like,
no.
More importantly, like...
Do you know the strength that you just had to come out with your story?
My face is so red, and
I am
anxiety-ridden, to be honest. Like, this is gonna...
You've been stressing this all week.
I have, because I didn't want to talk about it, but I have to. Like, I needed to. I don't want anybody else to go through that from this specific person. And this is why everybody should stand up and say, hey, he did this to me and it's not right. If somebody doesn't believe you, find somebody else that will, because I know there are people who can't accept it or want to sit there and make you feel bad for it, and that's not okay.
Like, this is why the Me Too movement's like took off like it did, because people are starting to stand up and like talk about the terrible things that people have done to them.
Yeah. And people are saying, oh, well, you're just coming out of the woodwork, or why are you just coming out now? Well, people are coming out now because they're seeing other people are brave enough to stand up and say, hey, this person did this to me and it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's okay to speak out. And it doesn't matter if it happened to you yesterday, a month ago, a year ago, 5, 10 years ago, you're still a victim. And mm-hmm. you deserve to have your voice heard.
I don't think they're victims. I think the people who are stepping up are brave. They're... victim carries such a negative...
They were victims.
They were.
By stepping up and saying something, you shed that skin and you're no longer a victim.
You take back your power.
Exactly. And you can't fully take back your power until you fully soak in and say, this happened to me. That's just the honest truth. I can attest to that. But we're done with this conversation. We're done with this topic. We are not going to be releasing an episode next week. Specifically, we are going to be house hunting in South Florida. Because this bitch is moving down with me.
Yes.
To my place. So
this episode is a little bit longer. It's a little bit heavier, which is kind of
shitty. Yeah.
Like, but I mean,
we thought, oh, it's gonna be light and funny and jovial and joking, and then
that bitch misses out, reaches out to me. I'm like, oh fuck.
Shitstorm so lands in our lap.
But go watch Catfish if you want to laugh, or maybe don't watch Catfish.
I mean, it's on Hulu.
It is on Hulu, and it is fucking cool. But as I said, we're not releasing an episode, so be sure to check out this episode this week on Friday the 13th. Or 13th episode on Friday. That's some spooky awesome shit. I am a spooky whore. But check that out. Also go to our Borderline Problematic Instagram page and like it. Comment, talk shit, do whatever you want to do because we will talk shit right back to you. We are those people. TBK Magazine. Interact with us on the comment thread underneath all of it.
We make shows better when we have feedback from our listeners.
And we want to know, like, if you don't like something we do, fucking tell us. We're not going to get upset by it. We're like, oh shit, we really do that. We're annoying. We might still do it just to get on your nerves, but...
Or to make a fun drinking game out of it.
Maybe, just like, it's going to be something fun. But interact with us. Reach out to us. If you want to tell us some traumatic shit that happened to you and you need somebody to talk to you about it, you need somebody to talk you down off of some kind of mood you're in, fucking holler at us. We don't give a shit. Like, you're our problem children, so naturally we have to take care of you.
Yeah, and I feel obliged to say this. Like, if you are going through anything like this in your personal life, like the Trevor Project, the National Suicide Prevention Hotline.
And there's the Bully Project, too.
Yes. Those are all great resources, and it's tough to speak out.
It is tough to speak out, and...
It's also tough to ask for help.
It is, and... we both know that.
Oh, yeah, because we're both like, stubborn as shit.
But luckily we have each other. Like, not a lot of people find a friend that's going to go through decades and transcend, like, bullshit. Because your friendship will be tested. But oh, like I said, if you don't know us, but if you want to reach out and just speak to a stranger about it, dude, honestly, like, we might not respond to you immediately, but we will get back to you.
Yes.
I've lost friends to suicide. I don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. This episode is fucking harsh. Brought to you by nothing.
Can we put a trigger warning at the end of this? Have they already gone through it? So thank you all for tuning in to listen to this episode. We continue to do what we do because we think y'all are listening.
We're just having fun, honestly. I mean, I hope you listen, but we talk to ourselves all the time, so.
We might as well, like, record it and give it to other people to listen to.
Yeah.
So thank you all, and tune in, what, 2 weeks?
Yeah.
Yeah, tune in 2 weeks for the next episode. Bye, guys.